Peace and all good from Franciscan Media. I'm Father Jim Sabak, and this is the Inbreaking of the Word. 30th Sunday in Ordinary Time, 4 weeks left to our liturgical year. Something again to consider again. This liturgical year is quickly coming to a close. We are on the really downward, quickly going down the downward edge of our church year. Advent on the horizon. Our last week of October this week as we enter into this 30th week in Ordinary Time. Important things just to kind of note, you know, as we go through this week, which probably is something we try to add in a little bit to keep people aware of the rest of the week that's going on. Tuesday, we have Simon and Jude, two of the lesser known apostles, not much. You know, we don't know much about them. That's why the lesser known apostles. And sometimes we have to link them together because there's not enough to give them each a day. So Philip and James are the other ones. But Simon and Jude, and you know, the important thing is Simon was the zealot. He was the one who was kind of the guerrilla warfare kind of guy, trying to get the Romans out of the Holy Land so that the Israelites could reclaim the land for themselves. So a volatile man, perhaps, in some ways. Again, that's why I'd call the zealot. You get zealots were not calm, ordinary people. They were people who fought for, you know, for the freedom and for the justice that was due Israel. But this man is brought in to Jesus' company as one of the 12. So, okay, what more about him remains clouded in history? Never know. Never know. But that's an important thing to remember. And then there's, you know, Jude. Again, the patron saint of hopeless causes. But why was that? Again, there's a whole bunch of, you know, legend that begins to arise because of it. But Jude did not seem to be hopeless. And he only says one or two things, I think, in all of Scripture. Same thing with Simon. So, you know, we have these two apostles still called by Jesus, you know, into companionship among the inner circle of the 12. And even if there's not much ever said about them, the fact that Jesus saw something in them means that even in the smallest of us, Jesus sees something. And we should value that and look for it and embrace that whenever we can. The other thing, Halloween is on Friday this week. Again, not a day, you know, of devils, not a day to be avoided, not a day to be feared and whatever it is. Again, we laugh at death because we know it has no power over us. So it's a day for us to mock, you know, all of those things in many ways that frighten us, that go bump in the night and whatever it is, because we know that we are stronger. We are more powerful than all of it because God is with us. So enjoy the day. Have fun with the day. It is the eve of All Hallows. It's the eve of All Saints, which will happen on Saturday this year. Again, sort of an off day because Saturday will also then lead us into Sunday, which is All Souls this year. So, but a little bit of time will be given over to remembering, again, the multitude of those who are examples for us of how to live this faith. Not impossible examples to follow, not examples that are meant to show us up or embarrass us, but examples that are meant to allow us, you know, to live, you know, as we are called to live as people within this world. So you guys, believers within this world. So within all of that, you know, just our Sunday of the 30th week of the year, God hears the prayers of everyone. Bottom line, you know, and so in Luke's gospel, especially, again, we have this wonderful parable of this publican, of this great Pharisee, of this great leader in the faith who is supposedly an example for all to follow about what it means to, you know, live this life of faith and to live it well and to its best degree. And he gets up there with great panache and basically prays in this way that I'm glad you have made me unlike other people and unlike, again, a tax collector who is standing in the back over there, as you see, that I am worthy of your love. I am worthy of your care. I'm worthy of everything that you are. And so, you know, hooray for me. Is sometimes that's what prayer can be like. You know, it's like, look at me, or even a church that goes, look at us, God. Aren't it so wonderful that we're here? We sing so well and we do everything so right. And you must be so happy with us. And it isn't that. It's not about pumping ourselves up so that God notices us more than anybody else. In our own interactions with each other as human beings, yes, maybe that's what happens. And that's terrible that happens, but it certainly does not happen with God. But there was a thinking, you know, within Jewish society, that the more that you impressed God, the more God would favor you. The more that you did right before God, the more riches and prizes and whatever it is that you would receive. If you didn't do those things, if you didn't impress God, if you lived a life that God wasn't happy with, then God would hurt you, smite you, treat you unfairly, treat you unkindly because you deserved it because you offended God. And that's what this tax collector, you know, comes into this, you know, synagogue, into this prayer space, and basically, you know, doesn't even come forward, stands at the back, you know, and says, God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that, you know, that I don't do anything right. I know that I'm in an occupation that hurts people, but, you know, I want to know that, I want you to know that I care, and I want you to know that I'm trying to be better. I want you to know, you know, that I trust in you still. still within the midst of all of this. Jesus says that the prayers of this tax collector are heard, you know, before this show-off, before this showy, you know, publican Pharisee who's trying to impress everybody with how holy he is. Again, this becomes an issue for us at times, even within, you know, the 21st century and social media. You know, which more spangled person who says that they are the best at being a believer, a Christian, a Catholic, whatever it is going to impress us so that we will follow them and we will make them, you know, powerful and wonderful in this world because their way of embracing the faith, their way of praying, their way of living their life as a believer must be the best life because, you know, they're so shiny and so spectacular and so flamboyant in what they do. And that's not it. It's not about competition, advertisement, all these other kinds of things. It's being who we are, embracing who we are, loving who we are because God has made us. Everyone fails. Everyone makes mistakes. Everyone does, you know, the thing that they should not do, but that is not the sum total of who and what we are. This tax collector realizes it. This tax collector can see it. And although he will not move forward and be flashy and showy about that recognition like that Pharisee publican is, he still is a person who recognizes that God loves him and that God is there for him. You know, may that be true of all of us always. To recognize the fact that God is for us. That's why God is Emmanuel. That's why we are moving throughout these next 4 weeks to that moment of Advent in which we anticipate and pray for the realization of Emmanuel in our lives, a God who journeys with us, you know, through all the ups and downs of life, who never ceases to journey with us and who wants us to be, wants us to know that we are a part of his life, of God's life, so that our lives can become as full and rich and wonderful as they are. Ours is a God who hears prayer, not a God who acts capriciously and loving only some and hating others or listening to some and not listening to others. God does not delay in listening to us. And we have to be aware of when that listening and that action toward us is happening because it happens out of God's love always. Continue peace and all good this week. All of you who listen to Franciscan Media, may the Lord always bless you with love and hope.